Read the letter a black Civil War soldier wrote asking Abraham Lincoln for equal pay by Lily Rothman. Countless stories are contained within the theme chosen for 2018's Black History Month observance, African Americans in Times of War. From the famed Tuskegee Airmen to the disproportionately large number of African American men who fought in Vietnam, African Americans have been part of America's military history since the very beginning. On the anniversary of President Abraham Lincoln's February 12, 1809 birth, one particular slice of that history is likely to be brought to mind, the Civil War. One of the most poignant reminders that the African Americans' experience of military service has not always been the same as that of other service members comes courtesy of a man named James Henry Gooding, whose explanation of one part of that problem, directed at none other than Lincoln himself, puts the situation in stark terms. "We have done a soldier's duty," he stated. "Why can't we have a soldier's pay?" As explained by Chris Barr, a guide at the National Park Service's Anderson National Historic Site, Gooding was born enslaved in 1838, but his freedom was purchased, perhaps by his father, and he was sent to school in New York City as a child. Although he made a good living in the whaling industry at the time of the Civil War, he was driven to enlist in the 54th Massachusetts Infantry in February of 1863, shortly after the Union Army began to allow black soldiers to join. His letters from the front were published in his local paper in the months that followed, but it was a different letter that had become particularly famous in the years since. On September 28, 1863, from Morris Island, South Carolina, Corporal Gooding wrote a letter to President Abraham Lincoln, the original of which is held in the National Archives. As Gooding explained in his letter, he and the other black soldiers with whom he served received $3 less per pay period than white soldiers did. But this didn't make any sense. Not only were they risking their lives just as much, but they were also uniquely familiar with the iron heel of oppression that the Union fought against. A few months later, however, he was captured in battle and taken to the prisoner of war camp at Andersonville. While he was there, Congress in fact equalized pay for black Union troops, just as he desired. But Gooding died a prisoner just weeks later. Read the full text of the letter below, as transcribed for the book Free at Last, A Documentary History of Slavery, Freedom, and the Civil War. Your Excellency will pardon the presumption of an humble individual like myself in addressing you, but the earnest solicitation of my comrades in arms, besides the genuine interest felt by myself in the matter, is my excuse for placing before the executive head of the nation our common grievance. On the 6th of the last month, the paymaster of the department informed us that if we would decide to receive the sum of $10 per month, he would come and pay us that sum, but that, on the sitting of Congress, the regiment would, in his opinion, be allowed the other three. He did not give us any guarantee that this would be, as he hoped. Certainly, he had no authority for making any such guarantee, and we cannot suppose him acting in any way interested. Now the main question is, are we soldiers? Are we laborers? We are fully armed and equipped, have done all the various duties pertaining to a soldier's life, have conducted ourselves to the complete satisfaction of general officers, who were, if any, prejudiced against us, but who now accord us all the encouragement and honor due us, have shared the perils and labor of reducing the first stronghold that flaunted a traitor flag, and more, Mr. President. Today, the Anglo-Saxon mother, wife, or sister are not alone in tears for departed sons, husbands, and brothers. The patient, trusting descendants of Afric's clime have dyed the ground with blood in defense of the Union and democracy. Men, too, Your Excellency, who know in a measure the cruelties of the iron heel of oppression, which in the years gone by, the very power, their blood, is now being spilled to maintain, ever ground them to the dust. But when the war trumpet sounded o'er the land, when men knew not the friend from the traitor, the black man laid his life at the altar of the nation, and he was refused. When the arms of the Union were beaten in the first year of the war, and the executive called for more food for its ravaging maw, against the black man begged the privilege of aiding his country in her need to be again refused. And now he is in the war, and how has he conducted himself? Let their dusky forms rise up out of the mires of James Island and give the answer. Let the rich mold around Wagner's parapets be upturned, and there will be found an eloquent answer. Obedient and patient and solid as a wall are they. All we lack is a paler hue and a better acquaintance with the alphabet. Now, Your Excellency, we have done a soldier's duty. Why can't we have a soldier's pay? You caution the rebel chieftain that the United States knows no distinction in her soldiers. She insists on having all her soldiers, or whatever creed or color, to be treated according to the usages of war. Now, if the United States exacts uniformity of treatment of her soldiers from the insurgents, would it not be well and consistent to set the example herself by paying all her soldiers alike? We of this regiment were not enlisted under any contraband act, but we do not wish to be understood as rating our service of more value to the government than the service of the ex-slave. Their service is undoubtedly worth much to the nation, but Congress made express provision touching their case as slaves freed by military necessity and assuming the government to be their temporary guardian. Not so with us, free men by birth and consequently having the advantage of thinking and acting for ourselves so far as the laws would allow us. We do not consider ourselves fit subjects for the Contraband Act. We appeal to you, sir, as the executive of the nation, to have us justly dealt with. The regiment do pray that they be assured their service will be fairly appreciated by paying them as American soldiers, not as menial hirelings. Black men, you may well know, are poor. $3 per month for a year will supply their needy wives and little ones with fuel. If you, as Chief Magistrate of the Union, will assure us of our whole pay, we are content. Our patriotism, our enthusiasm will have a new impetus to exert our energy more and more to aid our country. Not that our hearts ever flagged in devotion, despite the evident apathy displayed on our behalf, but we feel as though our country spurned us. Now we are sworn to serve her. James Henry Gooding.